evaluate if you guys are amassing an audience or the rate at which your audience is growing or anything?
Ion said the show 2 weeks ago had 429,000 people listening to it.
Wow.
And that's hard to believe, but it's very tiny. You got 300 million people. On the internet, there's a million, so what's half a million? That's nothing. And you know, Chief Radio's around, and probably people are gradually, they who listened to all the things, they've been stumbling on and listening to us now. They discovered us on the network that they'd already been listening to. Plus, they're spreading it around, and who knows who is. I mean, we had, we had a huge audience for Melting Titanium last week. I don't think it was, it was about 100,000. Now, that's, what, who are these ESP people, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, JW said to me the other day, like, it's all pretty overwhelming for him, and he says, you know, Bob, I was thinking yesterday, nobody's doing what we're doing. He was thinking of the psychics, like the Abraham, Ramp, the, no, and he only knows a little bit, but he knows about the Abraham. He says, can you imagine Esther Hicks taking a question on whatever the, you know, the weird questions we get about the aliens, the Illuminati, the things over in Norway. He says the Abraham would say, or Esther, or whoever would say, that's silly. Oh, don't answer that. We're not going to answer that question. You know what I mean? But Ion takes all questions on. And he was realizing, and I've known this, and he knows it, but he just was just struck. He says, nobody is doing the range of stuff that we're doing. And that's true. Nobody. And they're never going to do it. We are the alpha and the omega.
Right. Well, Ion dares to answer questions, but we still have yet to determine whether or not he actually has real answers to a lot of those questions, to which no one can actually know the verify the answers to.
Okay.
I still have the feeling that he wings it a lot. He'll, you know, you'll ask him something, and he'll come up with an answer regardless.
Okay. Now here's where you got to apply your McLuhan. In a radio show, it's just like what we were saying about Meltzer. You don't get particular. You be tactile. You get particular with one person and then not particular to the other. And you keep wafting, waxing, and waning to show the tactile process. On top of that, you have to be careful what you do say. Ion does. And so if you're, it's not whether Ion is right in the radio thing. Maybe in private session he has to be right. But in a radio environment, you get millions of people listening. It's not right. It's the rhythm of his speech and the tactility of what he's saying and resonating with what he said before to someone else and what he's going to say.
Right.
It's a musical performance. You don't ask, what did that bar mean? What did those...
Yeah. Well, I don't take issue with...
he's performing.
You know, like when you got, when I listened to the last 15 minutes of the show for cut off last week.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking about, Carolyn was asking him questions about, how do you keep a hangnail from turning into a back pain or whatever? And he said, you query into what it's trying to tell you about yourself before you let it grow into something bigger. You know, I totally agree with, I don't think that there's anything, I think that he's spot on. But then, like you asked him, this was kind of weird. You asked him, when did James get cut off from the show? And he said, well, when we said...
5 o'clock, chiropractic at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, the chiropractic thing. Well, I went back and listened to when it got cut off, and it didn't get cut off at that point. So he was willing to come up with an answer that wasn't accurate, but it satisfied your question.
Yeah, he came up with an answer. Just have to come up with one. Just have to say something.
Yeah, but see, you don't care about whether or not he is, in fact, accurate.
Now, listen, I had noted that when I was preparing to send it to Bill, and I said, I got to go listen to this whole 12-minute thing, which I haven't done yet, and I want to check out that 5 o'clock. I was going to check that out, but I haven't done it yet. So when does he say that?
Well, you know, the really weird thing is that when I listened to it, before you asked him that question, because I was listening to it for the first time last night. And
the whole thing, or just the last bit?
No, the last bit.
Yeah.
And there was about a minute of overlap just before James got cut off.
Yeah.
And then Carolyn asked him about the hangnail and the back pain and all that kind of stuff. She wanted to go into it with him, and I heard him say that. But if he's something to the effect, but if they want to rush off to the chiropractor and that's the fastest pass of their joy, then they better get there before 5 o'clock because that's when he closes. Okay, so then I went back. So then I went back to the point. It was a minute and 20 seconds in.
He gets cut off at saying Al Capone.
Yeah, a minute and 20. Yeah, right. A minute and 20 seconds in. That's where James gets cut off, and I listened to it twice. To find out exactly where he said chiropractor at 5 o'clock, because I wanted to see how many minutes he was off, and I couldn't find it.
Wow.
I couldn't find him saying it.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's quantum.
That was weird.
And you didn't.
It's got to be in there, Bob. But I don't know. I couldn't. I was sitting there determined to prove him wrong, and I couldn't. I listened to it all the way through like three times, and I couldn't find it.
And you knew you heard it. You knew you fucking.
I knew I heard it the first time.
Yeah, I remembered it. I remember hearing it.
So it's in there. I'm bewildered as to why I was unable to locate it.
You have to understand that Ion knows all because you've been in touch. Ion refers to your reading occasionally. In passing, he'll talk about the guy with the hat. You know, it's incredible, his memory. Like, he'll say something. He told me, we brought up something a week or two ago, and he said, well, Bob, we won't address that until you've reviewed session 45.
I was
at session 35.
Wow.
So I said, okay, when I get to 45, I'll see what's in there. I'm going through session 45 now. It is an awesome session. It's exactly what Ion said, and he told me a week or two ago that that's when we would do it after I got through 45. The memory is phenomenal. He's just as much as a computer. And he'll make personal things, and I've seen him do this. I would not be surprised he purposely, the whole non-physical, which is us. That's us talking to us, you know. The non-physical is one thing.
Right.
It's everything. And it's the one thing. It knew and fucking vibrated on you and made you miss it.
It must have, because honestly, I was dumbfounded. I couldn't go back
we
and find it.
We didn't even ask Ion. See, I could even... Now, if I asked him privately, he'd say one thing. If I ask him on the radio, he'll be cagey or not. We don't know, but it's a
right.
different medium. You know what I mean?
Right.
And all the time, Ion is judging the effect on the audience.
Uh-huh.
He says it. We don't want to lose everybody, so Bob, you said Middle Kingdom, but we're not going to go into that. But yes, the Middle Kingdom is it. You know? It's an incredible juggling going on here. And of course, I'm the one who fully appreciates because I've been there from the beginning and I know all the subtleties. You know, it's like Zappa used to say, no one appreciates what I'm doing more than me because I lived it all. I'm living it all. You're getting glimpses. But I know what you're glimpsing, and so then I appreciate it, or it's fun, but I almost can't explain the whole thing because you haven't had the whole view. But I know that's why I'll say absurd things like, well, I don't fuck with you, Scott.
Yeah.
I know Ion can do it.
Well, you know, I'm borderline willing to believe it because I really, really wanted to nail him and I couldn't find it.
And he knew it. And I'd probably ask Ion if he did that. And he might say, no, we had no knowledge of it. But he might say, no, we did. And you know,
well, let me tell you another weird thing. Last night they were interviewing Beyonce before the show.
Yeah.
She's very articulate, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
You know, not my favorite performer in the world, but you know, she's and they asked her something whatever, and she goes, "Yes, I do it all day every day." And I thought, did Ion get that phrase from her, or did she get it from Ion?
That's right. Well, you know, I told you, Den, the rumor is somebody who knew the person told James that Denzel Washington listens.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe he told her they'd be part of the same elite black world. You know?
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay, I want to... So why are we what are we talking about here? We're talking about that bit, but why do we get onto this topic?
Well, I interrupted you. You were about to say something.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
That?
Well, I don't know.
Was it Scott stuff?
No, we were just finishing up on whether or not Ion vibrated me into not finding that little bit, and you were going to ask him.
Before we went into the Ion stuff, were we talking about Scott?
don't think. Yeah, I mean, it was a good show. You breathed new life into it, Bob. That's good.
Yeah, no, that was good going back to Meltzer. And Jim Patterson, I think he said, Bob, go back to Meltzer. It's really good when you do that. And it does work, right?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I mean, he reminds me of all these songs that I know, and he writes humorously, but it's also technically correct from my point of view, right?
Yeah.
Like, when I first read through it, I'm
like... Now, is Meltzer still alive?
Yeah. He lives in Portland.
And so, oh, he does. So, Scott wants him to hear the show, but he's a little timid about sending it to him because he doesn't know he's going to think.
Right. Well, you need to find out where he is there. You should look him up.
What's his first name?
Richard. And if let me just in a second, I'll go to the... There's an article where he describes the bar he hangs out, but it's many years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, but it might be a beginning point. You go to the bar and ask if anybody, if Meltzer's still around. Let me look that up.
Yeah.
What were we just talking about? So I'm reading it, and I'm laughing because I know the average person reading wouldn't make a head and a tail of it, right? It's just fucking ridiculous writing.
Uh-huh.
Especially 40 years ago. And so I'm laughing as I read it and enjoying it the first time at the effect it has on the average dumb reader, right?
Uh-huh.
But I'm not laughing at it. Then I stop, and then I review what it means. Because I'm laughing, I'm getting what it means, but also thinking about how this is not going to be understood by anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
What he's doing. But then Scott is amazed that I explain it exactly, that it's totally understandable. I mean, this is the thing. He's a big mystery. I'm the first person ever fucking explaining it.
Yeah, but remember, Scott had to go through 10 years of crisis in order to finally get around to realizing you had something important to say. Most people are probably, unless they pick up on your charisma and they go, I want to know, I don't know what he's saying, but I want to find out.
Yeah.
It's not going to resonate.
Yeah, but for those like Jim and Andrew Crystal, who, you know, you heard the thing,
uh-huh.
He says, you know, reasonable inquiring minds will appreciate me explaining it.
Yeah. And okay. As more and more people get bored in South Carolina, they're going to want to tune into Bob for something new.
That's right. I've noticed that I drop so much stuff in that then has meaning 4 months later. He's like Zappa. It's a huge conceptual continuity going on there. I understand things during these shows that he knows will resonate, you know, in five shows down the way. He's dropping it. He's got it all covered, man.
Yeah.
It's like an awesome Sistine Chapel, amazing artwork that we're making here.
Hmm.
And he says, I created it.
Well, you did, Bob. I mean, he couldn't do this without you. And as a matter of fact, you know, this could be your own non-physical we're talking to.
It'd be my own what?
Non-physical. He's really starting to use the five body language now, too.
Yeah. No, and he... I told you that Joyce came through. Did I tell you that? Joyce came through?
Yeah, I liked hearing about that. Well, no, you talked about that last week with Scott.
He knocked JW off to the side, just barged in.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I want to. Okay, I'm looking up Meltzer, right?
I'm looking at his wiki page. He a picture of him when he was about in his mid-20s. He was a nice-looking guy with long hair back then. I don't know why that's the picture they have of him. I mean, he was born in 1945.
But if you go into news, you can look at more recent gray hair pictures.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to put in Meltzer, Portland. What do we call it? I better put Richard Meltzer, then Portland. And I'm going to try to find that article, that some local article. I don't know if maybe it's here in the pile.
His wiki said he moved to Portland in the 1990s.
Yeah, and the question is he still there? Okay, so news. We click on news. No news for him. Here it is, July Powell's books. Maybe he's going to read right in your area. So
wow.
Let me see. A big Okay, Meltzer. Okay. Something called The Beats, A Graphic History by Harvey Pekar. He's the guy who did the comics, and then that guy did a movie on the Cleveland comic, and he became famous 10 years ago, that actor who did Harvey Pekar's Boring Life. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, was he a cartoonist?
Yeah, he did the famous, So he wrote a book on the history of the Beats, and Meltzer reviews it for the Oregonian, and this is July 30th, 2009.
Okay.
And down the bottom, it says, Richard Meltzer is a Portland writer and the author of A Horde Just Like the Rest, A Modern Rhythm. So he's still in Portland right now.
Yeah.
So let's see, how else can we Google it? So you go Meltzer, Portland.
I'm looking at his wiki page, and at the very bottom it says, Interview with Meltzer by Scott Woods at rockcritics.com. That got added to his wiki.
Right. Got the latest on Rich. Get the latest on Richard Meltzer.
Well, Scott ought to be able to. If Scott was interviewed the guy, then he's on speaking terms with him. He should be able to get through to him.
Well, he should call him up. But the point is, why don't you meet him as a person? You know, and just walk up to him. Because I think that'd be easier than Scott. Scott's all fucked up about it. You know.
Yeah. But he's Scott. Might possibly be able to locate him.
Yeah, he could phone him, but let's just see if we can find the bar, approximately. Okay, I'm going to go look through this list of articles. Maybe it was in one of the articles he sent me, a more recent article on Meltzer. In Polite Discord, Death Rock. No, not immediately, and I'm not going to keep looking in that pile of paper. I'm going to try to find it on the internet. So, Richard Meltzer. New York Richard Meltzer feature on, okay, where is that? Is there another Richard Meltzer everybody's talking about? Meltzer YouTubes? Okay. Blue Oyster Cult, Eric Bloom, Richard Meltzer. Oh, there's some interesting pictures of him. Richard Meltzer biography, born May 11, 1945. He also performed recorded over the past decade with improvisational music group Smegma. And so then we would put in Smegma and see if they're playing somewhere in Portland. I think they are in the Portland area. Smegma on MySpace. They've got a wiki entrance. The group was included in the Nurse with Wound list, and more recently was featured on the cover of the August 2006 edition of The Wire. So they made The Wire. Smegma, official Smegma MySpace page. Okay, so... shows, local. So we're trying to find, we've got their Smegma's latest blog entry. Okay, subscribe to this blog about Smegma. Trying to find where would they list where they are this week. Got to list their...
I got his address and his phone number.
How'd you find it?
From online telephone directory.
Do you know the street?
Let me look it up in Google Maps. It's 2717 Southeast or 20th Avenue. I know where Southeast is. It's a bit of a drive, but not too far.
Well, maybe I should just call him now, both of us.
Yeah, sure.
Let's see if he answers. Okay, you give me the number.
All right.
503, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have his phone number. I just have his address. The phone number's unavailable. I have the address and zip code.
Okay, so I don't know why this is not telling me where they Smegma. Give us your music, half a billion, Smegma. Send message contacting Smegma.
That sounds like the name of a band from like the late 1980s.
Well, there's something that says Smegma the original since 1973, simply Smegma. I guess they've been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You got 3,000 friends. They got Jimmy Carl Black listed. So we need to... How can we find out where they're playing? Why don't they tell us where they're playing? And you might have to be part of their member. Okay, so Smegma, Portland, 2010. Just write that in.
They must be a punk band or something.
Yeah. Okay, here's an interview from January 7th. One of the members, and...
Oh, yeah, they were conceived in the early 70s.
When and why did you move to Portland? By mid-1975, the core of the band was obsessed about moving to Oregon for most of the idealistic reasons. It was certainly not a career move. Craze, go back to the land, fantasies, better pot laws, moss, trees, all the good stuff. And that he goes on, so they went up there. Now, where are they now? Tell us where they are now. It's a lot of stuff here, but... okay, so I put in Smegma, Portland, 2010. So let me put Smegma Show. Maybe that'll do something. So you could phone up a entertainment newspaper and ask him where it's Wednesday.
Well, it's not necessarily going to be there.
Well, he sings for them.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he's their singer.
Oh, okay.
May not be right now, but he's listed as was.
Hmm.
But they could tell you how to get into it. He might be in the audience.
Right.
Okay. I wish someone would tell me where they were. So, Smegma News, you click on that. Come on, give us Smegma News. And doesn't seem to have it. Okay, so you're going to have to work on this. Call up your local entertainment paper. You know, you have one of those weekly
papers. We'll get the phone number from Scott, and we'll call him up.
Right, maybe we'll all call him together.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but aside from that, you liven up your life and go out there and see the band, see Meltzer.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, which reminds me, did you hear from that job?
Yeah, I got an interview with the hiring manager out here, just, you know, lives not far from me. We had a preliminary phone conversation, which went very well, as best as I could tell, and he wants to set up a face-to-face interview with me. He has myself and I think two other people in mind that he wants to set up face-to-face interviews with. He said that our background checks would be done probably this week, and he would be in touch with us this week to set up an interview next week. So, and then it'll probably be another week after that before he makes the final decision. So,
it's when did you last hear from him? A week ago?
Yeah, I spoke with him last Wednesday.
Okay, so here's a fan of ION, a guy who's heard us on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be he's at a British Columbia Canadian phone number. He wrote me a month ago saying, hey, he sort of surrealistic response to ION, what he must have heard on James' show. So he sends this. He goes, wow, you have done it again. What have you done? You put up the rest of your disconnected audio from your Achieve session from January 27th onto howionic.com. You didn't know you were disconnected, and you let things lie as they would. It was like listening to reality audio versus reality TV, which is edited and the furthest thing from reality. In this, you guys and gals and etheric substances, in brackets ION, came across so wonderfully natural. In brackets, no woo-woo cha-boogie, no editing, and so forth. No editing and so forth. Just the way it happened.
Yeah.
This was great, and just what the doctor ordered. It was a nice difference or contrast to the normal workings of the show, which I don't understand that sentence. Our show is not scripted.
Not the normal workings of your show. Probably the normal workings of the station is what he was thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe he was referring to other days when James is not without you.
Yeah, but because we are pretty spontaneous, you know, and
yeah.
You can't say that we're planning or editing.
No.
It was a nice difference or contrast to the normal workings of the show. You guys let it play out perfectly. Thanks for the enjoyment of that. And by the way, it was a wonderful way to end one of the best shows yet. You folks rock. I would also like to say this to Carolyn. Your tough stance and confidence in your questions was surprising and wonderful. See, that's a part of Carolyn, the medical part, they don't know. You know what I mean? They don't know, and she's done this with Ion a lot, but that you don't know that when you're hearing the show.
Well, yeah, they know she's a doctor, and they know that you and her and Ion are all, you know.
Right, but they would not expect that kind of...
They don't necessarily know that you and Carolyn are married or a couple, I guess, because that's never actually been stated.
Well, it's sort of implied. We kind of imply we're here in Maui. Yeah.
Oh, right. That's true.
You can pick it up. And I turn to Carol. Hey, Carol, what do you think? You know, and then she's right there in the room with me. Right.
Right.
So, but that, you know, some people are dimmed out. They might just think I'm saying that to Carol over the phone. But anyways, some will pick it up. So he goes, "You folks rock." Okay, Carol's your tough stance and confidence in your questions was surprising and wonderful. Keep up those very pertinent and raw questions. Bob was egging you on in the background to, quote, give it to him. And he puts that in quotes, give it to him in quotes, and then ION, give it to ION. So he was like, Bob was egging you on in
right.
the background to give it to him. And then he says,
ION. You got him on the ropes, Carolyn.
That was cute, wasn't it?
Yeah.
ION, did you hear it live or archive?
Archive.
Okay. ION's got no dog in the fight. Ironically, it almost, just almost seemed like a dog fight. Then he goes, in any case, ION will always win, but he also loses always, too. I guess it evens out. In the end, the real winners are the listeners and participants of the show. One last thing. I will say this in appreciation. It's nice to find those of like resonance. If souls are real, this is the perfect place to have them roost. Souls can't be real, though, for when the guff gets emptied, that would mean souls never really existed. This is a great question for ION. Bob, you decide to pose this to ION or not. Doesn't matter to me either way. For my dogs, for my dogfight days, are almost retired. Talk to you soon.
Wow. Nice message, yeah.
Yeah, very good. So, there was that, and then right after that, somebody We got another email from someone we don't know, calls himself Rob, and he has a website called nestingwave.net. So he says, "Hello, Ion. I just wanted to say thanks. I discovered you through James Martinez and Cashflow. I have all the cash I need, and my bliss flows as I remember to loosen my grip and let it be. I appreciate the metaphors you use to describe that which is beyond description. Delicious indeed." And he has a little smiley. "Namaste, Rob." And then he has an excerpt. I guess he's a poet, or maybe he's a poet, because he has a poem called A Poet. And the poem says, "A poet is someone who can pour light into a cup, then raise it to nourish your beautiful, parched, holy mouth."
Oh, yeah. That's a nice bit of poetry.
Yeah, so we're beginning to inspire people.
Yes, you are. That's great.
Yeah, pretty neat. And look at this guy. He's booked in for a reading, and he says, "Am I confirmed for a Thursday discussion with Ion / or bracket JW? I'm a little excited and nervous. Why?" And then he talks about the melting titanium. He calls it bending titanium. I don't know if he jokingly means that or not.
Mm-hmm.
"Are the Tuesday bending titanium gatherings with the non-physical, do they include a visual aspect where everyone can see one another in the non-physical? Or is it in thought form only? Thought perception form only?" I asked JW. He says, no, people who have the ability can see images and pick up on all kinds of things visually during the show. And then the guy says, "How do I access the discussions 1,000 hours you and Carolyn have had with Ion?"
Yeah.
Did you say after 1,000 hours of discussion with Ion, there is nothing that Ion doesn't know? He wants to know if I had said that.
Right.
Yeah, not much. Ion can't do anything about anything. No. Oh, that's the other level. Ion gives correct or incorrect answers, but what's really going on, and I got people sort of saying this, is Ion is massaging a non-physical. There's a whole other level of communication going on. Well, you and I talked about that before, right?
Right.
That's what's really going on. That's what's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a new kind of ESP radio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's massaging us because it is the non-physical becoming aware of itself via projection in the electric medium.
Yeah, it's got to be, because I don't know how he could be aware of himself without having something to reflect off of,
yeah.
And he's reflecting off of us.
Yeah, I remember in the early days when we did our first radio shows, JW was amazed at what he picked up, you know, while in the trance state. He could feel it, he said. He could feel the people.
Mm-hmm.
Feel the consciousness.
Hmm.
Okay, so I wanted to read you that, and I think we're finished. Is there anything else to go into? What have you done lately? Okay, I wanted to ask you about your job. It's great that we're... Okay, so did we post on Dobstown both shows now?
Both shows from when?
Let's see.
Oh yeah,
right?
From the two from the Harmony Review, yeah.
Right, because the second one I haven't listened to it, but I listened to the first bit of it, and it's a focus on one group, the Cadillacs, and it's a replay from the 90s.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, I don't know how good it is. It may be too much on one group, but that's there. It's historical.
Yeah.
Check it out, you know. And so good, we got two up. And then as he posts the next ones, I'll send them to you.
Yeah. How often does he do classic shows as opposed to actually being live in the studio?
He's always there every week. I don't hear him repeating much.
Yeah. Okay.
And yeah, so maybe he's doing it more often now because I haven't listened to the last year and a half, but I don't remember hardly that at all before.
Yeah. I can hear the change in his voice that he's getting older just from when I recorded that first show that you turned me on to 2 or 3 years ago, and then hearing him, you know, up to date.
Yeah, I noticed it. He sounds older right now than he did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you can read his bio on the site. He's an insurance.
But if he's been, oh really?
Yeah, you can. You go to.
So he doesn't get. He doesn't get. He doesn't earn a living from this show then.
No, no. This is just all love, you know.
Yeah.
If Fordham's a university, it's not a commercial.
The Jesuit college, huh? Okay.
Yeah. And the but you do you know how to go to FUV and then go to the program and then go to the thing about him and see the picture of him, read his little bio?
No, I haven't done that yet. You can send me a link.
You go what?
You can send me a link or you can just tell me how to do it.
It's WFUV.org.
Okay. WFUV.org. Okay.
All right, I'm going there too. So then you see, we'll go to programs. Up there, see that blue line across? You click on programs. It's muddled, but.
Programs, yeah.
So then you scan down to Saturday, and you click on group, where is it? There's 4 to 8, midnight. Group Harmony Review. You see, you scan down, you see Group Harmony Review?
Yeah.
So click on Dan Romanello.
Oh, did I click on Group Harmony Review or Dan Romanello?
The word Dan Romanello within the description of the show.
Okay, hold on a sec. Shoot. I don't know why my oh, I see. Wait a minute. So I go to the page, Group Harmony Review. And
No. Back, look, you were looking at the program list, right?
Yeah.
And you scanned down and you found Midnight Saturday, the name
oh,
of
oh, no, I was looking at Programs tab, a tab called Programs. You say there's something called Program List?
Yeah, WFUV.org, the front page.
Okay.
First thing that comes up.
Go back to the first page. Okay. Yeah, and then there's something called...
It says support, listen, program, schedule, music, events, news, sports, about contact, right across the top.
Yeah.
So you hit programs.
Right. And then?
And then you scan down to Saturday.
Well, I don't see Saturday. I see Sunday, breakfast.
You hit on, you click program. Just click it.
Oh.
Actually, when you click on program, a menu comes down. You can just scan down, hit, but don't hit group. Hit menu. Just click on program.
Oh, okay. I did that. Now go to Saturday.
Scan down to Saturday.
Friday, midnight, Saturday. Okay. And then he's on at midnight, Saturday, midnight to 2 a.m., and then click on Dan Romanello?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
We don't know how old that picture is. He was at least 60 when that picture was taken.
Yeah, I mean, that picture, I think I've seen it a couple of years ago, so it's an older, it's not him today, I don't think.
Well, he's a honky. I kind of thought he was a black guy.
No.
Just from the sound of his voice and everything. He's got a very gentle, loving voice.
Yeah. So, in the bottom, it says, an employee of an insurance company during the week.
Hmm.
And he grew up in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
Lives in Queens.
Boy, I don't know how he did this every week for 40 years unless he's
no,
really
No,
passed.
No. He only been doing it since 83.
Oh, okay.
But that's 20... It's almost 30 years.
Yeah. You know, every week he's got to do 2 hours. And he just wings it every week. He really is good.
Yeah, but he brings in collectors. It's a whole network of people.
Mm.
He's helped. I mean, it's his hobby. He probably spends all his non-working life doing this because
yeah.
He likes it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we did that. We're up to date on that. And
yeah.
I don't know. Let me see if there was something else that somebody sent. So Crystal likes the Scott Wood stuff.
Who's Crystal?
Andrew Crystal.
Oh, yeah. Has he heard the Ion stuff? the cash flow?
I think so, but not much. He doesn't talk about it. He said, he did say, well, it's Gnostic stuff. And I said, no, it's not Gnostic. You can't categorize ion.
No.
He's aware, or you can go into Gnosticism and talk about it. But see, Gnosticism considers this world a fallen place. Ion doesn't believe that.
Right. And I like that, too. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Feels
I mean, like I said last week, we're more powerful than you. And he says, yep, you're the creators, we're not. And that's a whole turnaround, you know. That's a perceptual shift for people. We're the gods, not where you go when you die.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a key thought. I think maybe the Abrahams might have pointed that out. I don't know.
Yeah, but the Abrahams lay down the beginning of the things, but Ion, and they're just quoting Ion, just as Ion shows up later. I mean, in the sense that Ion and Abrahams are all just non-physical.
Right.
So then, but as J.W. says, I say, you can... Abraham does not give you private readings, and everybody keeps repeating the same bullshit, and unfortunately people hear a few aphorisms that Ion says, and say, oh, that's Abraham stuff. They have no idea. Ion is actually critiquing the law of attraction.
Right.
You know, really going into it. It's new, and he's basing it on quantum physics and everything else. Ion's the most comprehensive, you know, as comprehensive as Evergreens, and probably adding newer stuff, because it's the time. You can look at my whole life with mediums, from Cosmic Awareness and all through them. It was all effects leading up to Ion.
Yeah. You didn't happen to ask him about Byron Katie, did you?
I did. Actually, at the end of a reading, I brought up the name. I was just looking for final topics. I brought up the name, and he said, yes, we know who that is, but we can't go into that. That's another topic, not at the end of a session.
Oh.
I forgot to go back. You've reminded me. I forgot to go back and do that.
Uh-huh.
And it made a passing remark, but it seemed he wasn't too impressed, wasn't that important to go into it. But we will.
Well, you know, I happen to know that she's quite... I mean, I don't follow her particularly, but I know she's special. So sometimes I get a little... I think Ion is trying to make himself more special than everybody else by not making somebody who is special special.
Well, no, here's the thing. Ion thinks everybody's special, but here's the thing. People don't... Some smart ones listening are starting to notice that Ion points out how everybody is wrong because no one has ever got it straight. It's so many times in my 1,000 hours, Ion will say something and says, and you, Bob, are the first human to hear that said.
Yeah.
I said the monks in Tibet never said that. He thinks a lot of Tibetan culture, and they never heard this? No. So we're getting new stuff. And, of course, I have the advantage of hearing all this, processing before anybody else. And I understand why everybody fails compared to Ion.
Mm-hmm.
Not fails as a person or a being. That's not what we're talking about. The teachings have never been completed from anybody, from Jesus on.
Right.
And so I know a lot of any new ager is talking. If they believe in what they're saying, it's important to get the message out. They're limited because they're not non-physical, which doesn't care. Ion doesn't care whether we get this or not.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't get that detached.
Well, he apparently would like to see it happen, but he's not going to fret over it or push against what does happen.
It's going to happen. He's saying things are changing and it's going to happen, but mm-hmm. we don't care what we think of it. And if you want to have fun riding it, join in with Ion. Ion will show you how to do it if you can get it. And if you don't get it, that's okay. You can't lose. So it's a tactile paradox. Ion has to show up now and do what it's doing, and yet it includes the fact it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, from the non-physical point of view, nothing matters. But in the physical, it does matter, at least for those that think they're in the physical and limited to that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's addressing two states when he makes a statement. We're telling you, physical, because you have concerns, this is the deal. Mm-hmm. But we, in non-physical, and where you're going when you leave physical, you won't care about what you're concerned about now. But in the physical, you do. So here we are talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole
if he didn't create the physical, then he doesn't encompass all that is. There must be a larger matrix, what we would refer to as God.
Why, you say he didn't create the physical?
Yeah.
No, we created the guff the non-physical and physical. The non-physical per se as a subdivision does not create.
Oh, yeah.
But it is part of the creator. And what the fuck is this human that created it all? You know, that's pretty non-physical what did it.
Yeah.
It's incredible. He cleans up a lot of the paradoxes in the Bible. Pretty interesting. But so what you just said doesn't apply. There's sort of a contradiction in all of it, but no, because non-physical is here and it's available for you to tap in, so you don't have to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate revolutionary message.
Well, yeah, nobody's achieved that yet. So even though that may be
no, people have achieved it. Saint Germain is one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, great.
Yeah, it's all great, Scott. That's the good news.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm still going to rail against certain biases that I have, but I'm certainly keep tuning in and for more, and I'm excited and enthusiastic that this is happening.
Yeah, no, it's neat.
Your Scott Woods number 9 is up now, so it's ready to go.
We can announce it to the masses, to the thousands waiting.
Yeah.
Analysis of Meltzer's garble.
The hungry little birdies with their mouths open. Feed me, feed me.
Right. There was. Did you see that YouTube of the four dolphins come in and eat the circle the fish and eat the fish?
No.
Yeah, I posted somewhere or sent it around. I called it. I posted on Altsai. I said, this is the Canadian sub-Deenies eating the American sub-Genies.
Oh. Hey, who's Fratter 222? Because didn't he think he referred to himself as a sub-genius at one point.
Yeah, no, he's a guy on five-bodied, right?
Yeah.
Now, he's a therapist in near where JW lives in Georgia.
Oh, okay.
And he had a private reading.
Yeah.
He and his wife. And he told me in an email last week,
You outed him. You called him by his first name on the show.
What did I say?
Well, I don't remember what his first name is.
Oh, Matt? Did I say Matt to him?
Oh, no. You and Carolyn referred to him as somebody. I thought that was Matt when I heard his voice. That sounds like Matt. And then
Matt, who? Who are you talking about?
Fratter 222.
Well, have you talked to him?
I've talked to Matt, yeah.
Who's Matt?
Isn't Matt the guy that runs your website?
No, that's Matt Shepard.
Oh, it's a different Matt, okay.
Freighter 22 is Matt Vaughn.
Oh, okay.
So did I say Matt on the show?
No, you referred to him by his first name, but I do not believe you called him Matt. You called him somebody else, maybe to protect his identity.
No, I called him Freighter. See, he's Freighter 222 in five bodies.
I know, but Carolyn called him by his first name, and then you called him by a first name.
Okay, well, we might have said Matt. I don't know.
But you didn't say Matt, because I would have thought it was Matt Shepard. Because does Matt Shepard have a bit of a Texas accent?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I got, you sent somehow I ended up with a three-way between you and Matt and
Corbin,
and I thought, and I immediately thought, that doesn't sound like Matt Shepard, but maybe it is. And so from then on, I got the two of them confused.
Yeah, so that's Matt on the Corbin tape.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, he's a therapist in a hospital. He's a psychologist or something.
Oh, okay.
So he had a private reading.
Yeah.
He told me after the reading that his wife, who already had done sort of accidental channeling back in 2003, she went into trance, not in channeling, went into trance. I don't know anything about it, but he said, this is confidential. I forgot that. But he called up and did his cheeky thing of, which is our new word we get from Ion, cheeky.
Yeah.
He says, I'm just calling up. I'm afraid. I had a reading. That scared me, and I was upset after. And
this
I'm
is just
scared,
a fatty call.
Yeah, it's a fatty call, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think, I didn't consciously say, oh, I'm going to out this fucker. I forgot that he was told me it was confidential, but there's two subconscious things happening. No one knows who he is.
Right.
Doesn't matter. I could give his address; it still wouldn't matter.
Right.
And what was the other thing? And no one knows. And I might have been bugged that he was being silly, but I wasn't thinking of it. I just wanted to say, Yeah, I understand why you're scared. Your wife went in to start channeling after. And
right.
He said, I can either confirm or deny that. And then I go, oh, yeah, that's confidential. So he made an email to me today, and I haven't read it. Let's see what he says. I wondered if he'd be upset with me, but I don't care if he's upset. Look, nobody knows who the fuck he is, right?
Yeah.
He could say, you fucked your mother. Yeah, I fucked my mother, you know, but nobody knows who it is. And people think everybody knows when they're on the electric environment, you know, the neophytes, the naive ones. They don't understand that they actually are not even a chemical body on there, right?
Right.
You actually have ESP, so you could think, yeah, everybody does know because I'm activating everybody's non-physical. So it's a paradox. Yeah, everybody knows who you are, but your chemical body's not going to be able to talk about it.
Right.
He says, Bob, was talking with my wife, and she said that Ebru, that's the finance professor you met in Hawaii, there was a friend of theirs, professor in Boston, who brought me a painting, the first painting that we have in 17, 16 years, of Dobsound. So he did a painting last year. So she brought it, and I met her and talked to her. So he said, I was talking to my wife, and she said that Ebru, the finance, she's Turkish, they're all the wife is Turkish. Mm-hmm. The finance professor you met in Hawaii was talking to Matt's wife about the current state of the world, and Ebru said something like, maybe Bob is right, or I think Bob is right. You know, Matt is always vague. He can't remember nothing. So anyways, mm-hmm. they were saying something about me being right. So then he says, so this got me thinking that perhaps my goal to spread the Bob virus this year, and that's his goal, and he's already had one little conference call with some of his friends,
mm-hmm.
that perhaps the endeavor, this got me thinking that perhaps my goal to spread the Bob virus, spelled wrong, this year, that perhaps the endeavor is a worthwhile goal. I sometimes wonder, everybody wonders when they're dealing with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, was wondering if you were down with the next call. I'd like to give a brief phone call from you, 10 to 15 minutes, to a friend whose birthday party I'm going to this weekend. I could probably put you on speaker and other people would be around besides the birthday boy. This guy went to West Georgia and is a POMO, postmodern POMO intellectual. I've talked to him about you and McClune for some time. He's on to it in quotes, he's on to it, but just needs the McClune piece. Said he bought Medium as the message some months ago. His thoughts on the economic crisis last I talked to him were good and headed in an interesting direction. This birthday party is in Atlanta at a hip bar. Just let me know. The party's from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. Later, Matt. So he doesn't seem to be mad at me.
Oh, that's good. But what's his problem that he can't admit that he got something out of the show? He acts like...
Well, he's like that Nat guy who phoned up the week before and wanted us to read his manuscript. He's L-Truth on Five Bodied.
Uh-huh.
And they're all, he's a megalomaniac, and so is Frater. He thinks he's the new Crowley, but he realizes maybe I'm the new Crowley, so he's trying to figure out how he relates to me.
Mm.
And it's slightly a put-on, but he does that on, read his posts, they're ridiculous, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that was ridiculous in a way. He makes his obscure point. Hey, with Ion, we're just playing, so it's just phatic. So he made the point. Okay. He really.
Well, he learned a new word, and now he's trying to figure out how to use it.
Yeah, and he wanted to really, in an odd way, compliment Ion, because he said, man, I didn't know what to do after. You know, it was quite
right.
Strong, the effect.
Right.
So, there we are. So, you just sent me Revolution number 9, which is, okay, the Breakthrough Show. That's right. It's the Breakthrough Show.
Yep.
Maybe I'll post it that way.
Yeah.
Well, you found the scripture we can talk endlessly about.
Yeah. And it'll branch off to many more good discussions.
Yeah.
So, has Scott studied your chart yet? I mean, you list, you know, you have a whole category where you list the pop stars and the magazines and the relevant stuff to the question. You know, he could go into that with you.
I forgot about that. We'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd love to hear somebody else do that. I did the chart with you, but I want to hear somebody, you know, from his perspective, do it with, from another perspective.
Okay, well, we will not finish this series. Let's say we go for another 2 months or something.
Uh-huh.
We'll not finish it until we do the chart. Then we'll do it at the end.
Okay, yeah.
Because by then he'll know all kinds of things and have a handle on it, and then we go at the chart.
Right.
I wouldn't want to do it now. I want to do the Meltzer, because a lot of stuff. I love reading the Meltzer because it brings up all those old songs and weird things he mentions.
Yeah, and so Scott's aware now of the new link for the Harmony Review, so he can start listening to those shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean we told him about it, and I sent it to him, but he hadn't.
Yeah, so he'll get around to clicking on that to see what that's going on there.
Okay, great.
All right.
American DNA, Noah's Ark is a really good title. You know how they are hoping to find dinosaur DNA so they can make a new dinosaur?
Yeah.
I'm saying, in a way, it means that there's no America anymore. We did find a sample of his DNA, this show, and we're putting it on Noah's Ark.
Right.
Works.
Yeah. And next time you talk to Matt Shepard, you probably should let him know that it's there, just so, you know.
Oh, yeah,
if he has any objections.
Right. Okay, talk to you later.
Okie dokie, talk to you later.
Yeah, and thanks for the Bob Fass, and listen to the Jerry, I think it's Jerry Rubin.
Yeah.
Blasting on about Leary.
Will do. Yeah, and that book, that new book on Leary, they go into how Eldridge Cleaver outed Eldridge Cleaver or something, and Eldridge Cleaver was out to get him or something, I don't know.
That's one of the sound bites, is somebody talking about the Cleaver Leary countertop. It might even be Catherine, the wife of Cleaver, the strange wife or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a friend of May Brussels, one of the sound bites, old black woman I had on CKLM once in the mid-80s, but she's on there mouthing off in Bob Fass Studios. If he plays more, it's good. I've only heard the first hour, but the first hour has some good clips.
Yeah. And I listened to the when you interviewed when you and Krasner talked.
Yeah.
And that was good, actually. Actually, I have a new, even though I told you I get a little bored with hearing Krasner reminisce about the old days on the Bob Fass show. He was a pretty bright guy. He really is. He had good, insightful responses to stuff that you guys talked about. It was too bad.
Are you talking about the one that's on the timeline I did about 5 years ago?
Yeah, Jerry hosted it.
Oh, that thing. No, that's something else. If you look at the timeline, I'm on there. It's called with Gerd Stern. Anyways, I call him and he's on the phone there. I ask him about, I think it's on there, I ask him about Zappa, McClellan, and all the people he might have met and tell stories. So let me just see if I can find that. Like, he's always on Fass at least once a year. He passes through New York, and
mm-hmm.
Fass is a great follower of him. So let's just go to 2005, around then, put in Krasner, find Krasner. There it is. Okay, that's the Jerry one. Is there any more?
Yeah, you saw him in 90. You talked with him in 94 with Jerry.
But there's no more.
And there's, and then there's one. Bob appears on Radio Unnameable in New York with guest Paul Krasner.
Oh, where is that?
That's the ninth month of 2004.
Okay, because I put in Krasner, and it should show it all, and there it is. So then I'd have to scan down, way down to see where there it is. So, yeah, now that's an interesting dialogue if you haven't heard it. You got to go in the last 10% of the file.
Right.
And I don't know how much is on there, but you might want to listen to me quizzing him about different things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good.
He then got paranoid about me, you know. Do you know the follow-up?
No, what happened?
A couple years later, 2006, 2007, he was on, and I called up, and he got irritated with my questioning.
Mm.
And basically, they stopped me talking to him.
Mm.
And then I saw Stang about a year later on his alt Slack say that Paul Krasner stopped in, and Stang's always trying to find stuff to put me down over. He says he talked to Krasner about Bob Dean, and Krasner said that Bob stalks him.
Oh.
So I think that means is that, you know, I used to try to catch him every time he was on Bob Fast, but after a while they got irritated by my not bowing down to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, his reputation and his income rests on his paradigm, and you want to bust his paradigm.
That's right. Well, I want to expand it, and none of them will do it. I mean, all these guys have come, and I've engaged them. They all failed, and I'll be the last guy standing, and then mine will win.
I mean, you know, it's like Roy wouldn't put you on his show, and then, like, you know, I can't believe, you know, like, what's her name, Faustin Bray, who was going around recording everybody, recorded you and won't even discuss it, you know.
That's right. Well, I'm the Wyndham Lewis. The good guys are always like this. It's a joke by spirit, by non-physical. Hey, you guys are documentary, but you're always missing out the good stuff. Because you can't take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Evan told me a couple months ago that Roy, and this is after we've had a few Ion shows, Roy says, you know, just in passing, you know, I dig what Bob does.
Well, now, finally.
Yeah, and, you know, it's probably because of the Ion thing, you know, just that finally pushed it over, his doubt.
Yeah.
Because Ion mentioned the 33rd Parallel on one of those shows, and after, Evan was telling Ion and me that Roy went and looked it up immediately in the station, and he was showing it to Eben at some point, and he had it all wrong because he was looking at the 33rd degree parallel below the equator, not above.
Right. So
Eben had to correct him, but he couldn't even do that right.
Right. Is Hawaii on the 33rd parallel?
Well, yeah, it's
below.
It's 22, 23, 24, but Hawaii, the real Hawaii is spans from the 22nd to 33rd because it's 1,000 miles long. It's a whole range of islands.
Mm.
So technically it is, but in general it's on the 22nd parallel approximately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that seems to be significant in this hyperdimensional model of, you know, like the
what seems significant?
Well, the physicist, what's his name, Haramein, Nissim Haramein. You know, he noticed that.
Are you talking about the 33rd parallel or Hawaii?
Well, I'm talking Hawaii is, I think, on the same. Is it latitude or longitude as the pyramids? In
that's right. No, that's exactly what what Ion's talking about.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it shifts a little bit because of tectonic plates, but in general, we're the 33rd parallel, and there's more to that to be unfolded, man. Ooh, wait till you see what's coming.
Yeah.
Harriman only knows a tenth of what's coming.
Yeah. But, and so, what was the deal with the Greek islands that are going bankrupt or something?
Greece is bankrupt. You can just Google it. It was the big topic at the G8 meeting a week or two ago, and then at Davos. It's a big problem.
Yeah. And the American bankers or American president or somebody was excluded from that meeting?
I don't know about that. That sounds familiar, but nothing.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
What is it? Oh, did you hear China announced last week that they're not accepting the American currency anymore as a medium of exchange?
Wow.
And that affects Walmart.
Huh.
Because they rely on all the Chinese fucking products. So how are they going to get them? They can't pay for them.
Well,
they're
going
to have to use the yuan, and we don't have any yuan.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, and I looked for it, and I don't see any article on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do it right now, let's just see if there's something about it somewhere. Okay, so China rejects American exchange.
American currency or the dollar? How could a story that big not even be on your little plastic box?
Yeah. Okay, so you hit news to get the most recent. Euro tumbles versus dollars, debt worries mount. That's China warns Obama against. Bernanke battle poses risk to dollar status. There is no direct statement going on.
Hmm.
So I don't know where that person got it from.
Hmm. That's not something Ion said then.
No, it was someone else. But Ion said, yes, that's what's happening. I checked with Ion.
Hmm.
But Ion... we've done the mystery landscape for 2009, listed all the mystery events, and a couple of them were financial things that there's no real statement about, but Ion laid it out. One of them was the Federal Reserve went bankrupt on January 15th, 2009.
Hmm.
That was just a few days before Obama became president.
Oh, wow.
And then Obama caught up when he said in May, there is no money. We have no money.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So there's a couple other things that Ion listed happened.
You know, one of the Ion keeps pushing the point that they're just creating money out of thin air. You know, he uses his example of you could go in and write yourself a $1 trillion check and you'd be doing the same thing. But I don't think that's the way people think about it. I think the way people think about it is that they're borrowing this money against the future income of tax wage earners. You know, the taxes on future generations. This money is being borrowed against the future. It's not being created out of nothing.
Yeah,
that's different.
Well, write in the question and ask Ion about it.
Yeah,
state it that way. So here's a news story. This is January 28th. At 11:22 a.m. in some big newspaper, I don't know what, Wall Street Journal. Euro tumbles against dollar as debt worries mount. So this is last Thursday. You know, this is after we talked about it. Often, Ion has pointed out, we mentioned something on the show, it shows up the next day. Like Dobbs quit. Lou Dobbs quit after Ion made fun of Dobbs a few hours later.
Right.
So we pointed out, we didn't tell the whole story, which I know, but we're not saying yet. But this is getting towards it. So this is the next day, January 28th. The euro tumbled against most rivals Thursday as mounting concerns about sovereign debt in the eurozone sent the single currency below $1.40. Investment sentiment further deteriorated late morning in New York after rating agency Standard & Poor's said it no longer classified the UK among the most stable and low-risk banking systems globally. That pushed the yield spread between 10-year Greek government bonds and equivalent German securities to reach a new record high of 405 basis points. The cost of insuring Greek bonds against default also hit record high.
Hmm.
So it goes on about the Greece and the euro. This is really going to affect the euro. And then that'll have a nice effect on the dollar.
Yeah, good effect, positive effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I mean, there's the Greek thing is a big story in Europe, you know, over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't know, it's not on our local news.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe what a bubble, hermetically sealed bubble,
yeah,
information bubble we live in.
That's right.
I mean, how do you keep stories like that suppressed when you have the internet and everybody's typing anything they want to in there?
Well,
I guess it gets lost in the sea of it gets lost in the sea of the deluge, the tsunami of information.
Yeah, but the TV landscape is the centralized force, the centripetal force. They should point this stuff out.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually makes America, they could get confident about it. Hey, this is great. It's going to help the dollar.
Yeah. Well, maybe the American interests don't run the media in America.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be it. Okay, well, I'm leaving you on that one.
Okay, Bob.
Okay,
talk to you. Bye for now.
Thanks, Scott. Bye.